Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mackie, and I will be reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for May 3, 2022. MPD officer involved in fatality in North Midland. Texas Rangers looking into shooting of armed person by Stuart Doreen. The city of Midland has confirmed there was an officer-involved shooting Sunday in North Midland. A city spokesperson stated the investigation into the shooting is ongoing and that, as part of our protocol, the investigation is being handled by the Texas Rangers. The city did confirm that the person shot was armed and that the shooting took place at 9:53 p.m. on Castleford Road. DPS later confirmed the person shot was killed. In April, the Department of Public Safety confirmed a shooting that involved a Midland District Attorney's Office investigator. The shooting occurred on Farm to Market Road 307, a quarter of a mile west of South County Road 1130. In March, a Midland County Sheriff's Office deputy was involved in a shooting that killed a 14-year-old at a Northwest Midland apartment complex. The last MPD officer-involved shooting appears to have taken place in November. The city at the time reported that the officer chased the suspects, and during the foot chase, one of the suspects, identified as Jason Velasquez, 19, fired a gun in the direction of the officer. The officer returned fire, hitting Velasquez. Velasquez was transported to a local hospital in stable condition. The officer was also transported for injuries sustained during the incident and has since been released. Ex-sports editor Williamson passes away, by Stuart Doreen. Former Reporter Telegram sports editor Terry Williamson passed away Friday in Midland. His family reported that he is finally with his Jesus. Funeral services are scheduled for 2 p.m. Wednesday at First Baptist Church. Visitation will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. today at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Terry was an award-winning sports journalist and one of the legendary community newspapermen in Reporter Telegram and West Texas history. More importantly, he was also a Christ-centered husband, father, and grandfather. He will be missed. Auditors give MDC Financials positive report, by Mella McEwen. Midland Development Corporation received a positive independent auditor's report for the fiscal year 2020 through 2021. Board members learned Monday. Christy Weakland, Director of Finance for the City of Midland, presented the audit report, which had been conducted by BKD LLP and issued March 11th. She told board members at their monthly board meeting that MDC's financial reports were correct and showed no weaknesses or significant deficiencies or management issues. She highlighted the growth in sales tax, saying sales tax collections are already above what the city had budgeted. We hope at year's end sales tax collections will be 8% over what was budgeted, she said. Also noted was the $11 million decline in expenses during the year. Weakland explained that in the previous fiscal year, the MDC had made $10 million in payments on projects it had partnered with the city on, and those projects were completed and the expenses were not repeated in the most recent fiscal year. Board members also approved the execution of a second amendment to an economic development agreement between the MDC and Kepler Aerospace. Sarah Harris, MDC Executive Director, explained that the one-year extension pertained to private property and inventory investment rather than payroll requirements. She said the extension stemmed from pandemic-related lockdowns in the United Kingdom in 2020 and 2021 that prevented Kepler from making the necessary repairs to their VC-10 aircraft in Wales that would make them ready to fly to Midland. She added that work on the aircraft has already resumed. Harris also announced the MDC will host two familiarization trips for businesses interested in Midland. One will be held toward the end of May, and a second, larger one is scheduled for September. The MDC hosts such trips several times a year. The trips are industry-specific and usually include executive leadership of the companies and representatives from the MDC and/or City Council. MPD investigate reported shots fired in East Midland by Midland Reporter Telegram. The Midland Police Department is investigating reported shots fired in East Midland on Sunday, according to a city spokesperson. MPD officers responded at about 5:57 p.m. to the vicinity of Walnut Lane and North Tyler Street regarding shots fired, where they found shell casings in that area, according to the press release. There were no injuries. The general location is halfway between Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine and Hidalgo Park. The investigation is ongoing. NWS. April was Midland's windiest month in years, by Stuart Doreen. It was a windy month of April. Typically, that would not be news. But April 2022 will go down as the windiest April of the last 4 years, and there hasn't been a month more windy in at least the 50 months, according to the National Weather Service. NWS officials told the Reporter Telegram this weekend that they have records going back 50 months for windiest months, and April's average of 14.0 miles per hour is higher than previous April's. A look at NWS statistics also shows the typical average for any April is 12.7 miles per hour, the highest average of any month of the year. The daily average in April was at or higher than 10.0 miles per hour for 25 of the 30 days. Max speeds reached at least 20 miles per hour all but 3 days, and gusts topped 30 miles per hour 24 times and reached 40 miles per hour 7 times. The NWS reported the highest gust was 50 miles per hour recorded on April 22nd. A windier month of April was not exclusive to West Texas. The Dallas Morning News reported last week that the average wind speed at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport was actually higher than the average in Midland, and that April was set to be the windiest month in 25 years and the windiest April since 1963. P&Z approves preliminary residential replat by Mella McEwen. Members of the Planning and Zoning Commission quickly worked through a brief agenda at their meeting Monday. The only public hearing scheduled was to approve a proposed preliminary plat of Lindsay Acres in South Midland, being a replat of a 1.494-acre tract of land out of the west half of Tract 5 and a 0.14-acre tract out of the west half of Tract 6, located at West Montgomery Avenue and Moran Street. Schumann Engineering made the request to replat the tract into 11 lots for future development. Commissioners unanimously approved the request, which included staff recommended conditions. Those conditions included the final plat, including a drawing of the boundary description prepared by a registered surveyor and bearing their seal, signature, and date on each sheet. The final plat containing a complete owner's certificate and the final plat containing a complete certificate of approval. Police charge Midland man with sexual assault by Mercedes Cordero. A Midland man was arrested Saturday for alleged sexual assault, according to court documents. Herman E. Snellenberger, 37, is being charged with sexual assault, a second-degree felony charge. Midland Police Department officers were dispatched Saturday to Chaparral Center at Midland College by a Midland ISD officer in reference to an outcry of sexual abuse. MPD officer met with the woman who told them Snellenberger had sexually assaulted her, according to the arrest affidavit. Snellenberger is currently being held at Midland County Jail on a $50,000 bond. Midland Trail Park open for fun, recreation, by Midland Reporter-Telegram. The Permian Basin Bicycle Association and West Texas Trail Alliance held the Midland Trail Park grand opening Saturday. There was not an entrance fee for the new park in Southeast Midland, 3215 Farm to Market Road 307. The event featured basic bike prep and maintenance clinic, bike gear clinic, a women's group ride, and beginner and family group ride on the Green Trail. The trail park features a hiking and trail running area, disc golf, skills park, and all skill level trails. Park officials have stated those interested can join the PBBA for $30 a year or $35 a year for the entire family. That fee provides access to the Midland Trail Park and the Odessa Mountain Bike Park and helps to defray the ongoing maintenance costs of the facility. The city's involvement in this public-private partnership is the donation of land. Midland Trail Park is located near Harris Field Fire Training Facility.
Hello, this is Michael reading additional articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, published Tuesday, May 3, 2022. Shale explorers boost payouts. Diamondback, Devon, Conterra hold line on output. ExxonMobil and others to up production. By David Weth and Paul Takahashi, Bloomberg. Shale drillers Diamondback Energy Incorporated, Devon Energy Incorporated, and Coterra Energy Incorporated are boosting dividends while keeping oil output flat, despite pleas from President Joe Biden to increase supplies and help take some of the edge off of inflation. Diamondback announced a five-fold bump to quarterly payouts on Monday, while Devon pledged to lift its dividend by 27% to a record $1.27 a share. Coterra also boosted distributions to shareholders. At the same time, all three shale specialists said they are holding the line on crude and natural gas output. As oil and gas producers reap the fattest profits in years, corporate boards and management teams are grappling with pleas from politicians and consumer advocates to plow more of that cash into drilling so energy supplies expand and pump prices drop. Although Diamondback, Devon, and Coterra are resisting that pressure, rivals including ExxonMobil Corporation, Continental Resources Incorporated, and Hess Corporation last week signaled they're taking the brakes off of output. Russia's actions have increased the volatility in our sector, creating significant swings in commodity prices as a result of uncertainty around global oil supply, Diamondback Chief Executive Officer Travis Stice said in a statement. We do not feel that today is the appropriate time to begin spending dollars that would not equate to additional barrels until multiple quarters from today, given the uncertainty and volatility currently in the market. Diamondback, Devon, and Coterra all posted stronger than expected first quarter results Monday. Diamondback raised its regular quarterly payout by 17% to $0.70 a share, and declared a variable dividend of $2.35, bringing that total distribution to $3.05. Coterra lifted its combined regular and variable payout by 7% to 60 cents a share, payable on May 13th. From the energy page, Gulf Oil Drilling Makes Too Late Comeback by Paul Takahashi, Bloomberg. A new wave of oil platforms is sweeping into the U.S. Gulf of Mexico as crude prices are riding historic levels and demand for barrels is higher than ever. But don't count on the new production to close the oil supply gap that has plagued the world's economies since the pandemic. Even with the new platforms coming online, Gulf oil production won't grow substantially in the coming years as mature fields decline, according to analysts. BP PLC's Argos and Shell PLC's Vito, floating production platforms that are taller than 20-story buildings and have decks the size of football fields, will start pumping crude off the Louisiana shore later this year. They will join Murphy Oil Corporation's King Quay, a behemoth that started producing oil in April, also off the Louisiana coast. Others from Chevron Corporation, Shell, and Beacon Offshore Energy are expected to start production in 2 years. Once all six platforms are online, they could produce up to 560,000 barrels a day. The timing for these new Gulf projects couldn't be better. The offshore sector has been battered by back-to-back busts and a pandemic that forced mass layoffs and bankruptcies. But even with oil at $100 a barrel, a big comeback is unlikely. After a decade that saw one of the worst oil spills in U.S. history, shale's ascendance, and mounting climate change concerns, some experts believe that the sun may be setting on the Gulf. "I think it has a future, but it's not as bright as it once was," said James West, an analyst at Evercore ISI. "There's probably some growth still left in the Gulf of Mexico, but it's a more modest growth." Last year, Shell said its global oil production had peaked in 2019, while BP in 2020 said it would cut oil and gas production worldwide 40% by 2030. Shell and BP are the two biggest Gulf producers. Since the first offshore rig was built off the coast of Louisiana in 1938, the Gulf of Mexico has been a reliable source of domestic oil. Its deep trove of reservoirs is responsible for about 14% of the U.S. crude's production, second only to the country's prolific shale fields. Gulf producers extracted 1.7 million barrels of oil per day in January, still shy of the pre-pandemic record of 2 million barrels a day. The U.S. Energy Information Administration expects Gulf output to remain flat through 2023, while S&P Global Commodity Insights projects production may recover to the pre-pandemic record by the end of the year. Energy consulting firm Wood Mackenzie is more bullish, forecasting crude and natural gas production this year could jump to the equivalent of 2.3 million oil barrels per day. Offshore projects cost billions and rarely come online in less than a decade. The sector's inability to quickly ramp up production when geopolitical disruptions like Russia's war in Ukraine upend markets is one reason why U.S. oil production at 11.8 million barrels a day remains below the pre-pandemic record of 13.1 million barrels a day, even with crude prices at 14-year highs. The number of new offshore discoveries worldwide has fallen to a 75-year low after oil companies slashed their budgets for deepwater exploration. Even as the industry recovers from the pandemic, its offshore investment globally is set to rise only 7% to $155 billion this year, compared with an 18% increase in shale investments, according to Rystad Energy, a consulting firm. Companies have slashed deepwater exploration budgets primarily in response to recent oil busts and the pandemic, which squeezed revenues. The industry's poor financial performance in recent years, as well as investor pressure due to environmental concerns, have hampered its abilities to tap Wall Street to finance offshore projects. Worries that today's high prices won't last make investing in expensive, time-consuming offshore projects a hard sell. Regulatory concerns also loom large over the offshore sector, which relies on regular federal lease auctions to maintain output. The U.S. is still permitting new drilling and production on existing offshore leases, but it could be another year or more before producers get a crack at new federal acreage. The Biden administration isn't on track to set a schedule for new offshore lease sales by June 30th, when the current five-year program expires, and federal budget documents show the White House doesn't anticipate selling more oil and gas leases in the Gulf through at least October 2023. That means it's unclear when or if offshore producers will be able to secure new Gulf leases. If leases remain suspended, Gulf production could be halved by 2040, according to the National Ocean Industries Association, which represents the offshore oil and wind industries. We're sitting in a situation where it's been coming up on 2 years without the issuance of offshore leases, likely to be 3 or 4, said Eric Melito, NOIA's president. You've got this tone and tenor that in many respects has had a chill on the investment community and on companies. Instead of launching mega projects to explore in even deeper waters, farther from shore, producers are increasingly shifting to smaller designs and subsea tiebacks, which connect new oil and gas production to existing networks of platforms and pipelines. If you do a greenfield investment, you're exposing yourself to potentially 10 years of volatility, said Colin White, an offshore analyst with Rystad. Because the Gulf of Mexico already has so much infrastructure in place, operators are shifting to an infrastructure-led exploration strategy. Record fuel exports from U.S. Gulf Coast drain tanks at home, by Chuzi Zhu, Bloomberg. Record fuel exports from the U.S. Gulf Coast are eating into domestic supplies, leaving gasoline and diesel tanks on the East Coast emptier than they have been in decades. As much as 2.09 million barrels a day of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel shipped out of the refining hub in April, the highest level since oil analytics firm Vortexa began tracking the data in 2016. The bulk of the exports went to Latin America. The strong pull from overseas shows the world needs U.S. Gulf Coast refiners more than ever. But producers there will have to balance lucrative exports with domestic demand heading into the peak travel season this summer, with pump prices already at record highs for diesel and hovering just shy of peak for gasoline. Export demand will likely stay strong through the next few months as countries in South America continue to burn diesel fuel for power generation during the Southern Hemisphere's winter season when hydropower supply falls. Mexico, the largest overseas buyer of U.S. gasoline by far, will likely draw more from the U.S. Gulf Coast as high crude prices derailed the country's plans to produce more fuel at home. Read more. U.S. Gulf Coast diesel exports soar amid wartime global shortage. When push comes to shove, U.S. consumers will be able to outcompete overseas buyers, said Andy Lipo, president of Lipo Oil Associates, LLC in Houston. Demand destruction will happen overseas first, he said in a phone interview. Domestic fuel demand is expected to exceed 2019 levels this summer, despite high prices, a government forecast shows. Meanwhile, distillates segment of the largest U.S. domestic pipeline connecting fuel makers on the Gulf Coast and consumers on the East Coast has been running below capacity since the beginning of the year. First quarter earnings snapshot for Diamondback, Associated Press, Midland. Diamondback Energy on Monday reported first quarter net income of $779 million. The Midland, Texas-based company said it had a profit of $4.36 per share. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring costs, came to $5.20 per share. The results exceeded Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 11 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $4.74 per share. The energy exploration and production company posted revenue of $2.41 billion in the period, also surpassing street forecasts. Eight analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $1.93 billion.
Obituaries. Jacqueline D. Jackie Cooper. A mere 40 days before her 99th birthday, Jacqueline D. Jackie Cooper passed away in a College Station, Texas hospital into her Lord's hands on Thursday, April 21, 2022. Jacqueline was born on May 31, 1923, in Joaquin, Shelby County, Texas, the only child of Leonard Bernice Jack Davidson and Hilda Ida Truett Davidson. Family celebrating Jackie's life includes son Edward A. Cooper and wife Verie of Lubbock, daughter Jacqueline J. Holmes and husband Bill of Burton, son Roger Cooper and wife Melanie of Rowlett. Jackie was also blessed with six grandchildren: David Holmes, Wendy Massey, Lindsay Cooper, Michael Holmes, Andy Cooper, and Scott Cooper, plus five great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by both parents, husband Les, and grandsons Richard Todd Cooper and Mark Edward Cooper. Graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland, Texas, on Saturday, May 7, 2022, at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials be made to either the Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children, 2222 Wellborn Street, Dallas, Texas, 75219, or St. Luke's United Methodist Church, 3011 West Kansas, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Terry Lane Williamson. Terry Lane Williamson, 76, of Midland, a decorated veteran, proud husband and father, beloved friend and loyal follower of Jesus Christ, passed away on Friday, April 29, 2022, surrounded by his family. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, May 3, 2022, at the Branch at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 4, 2022, in the sanctuary at First Baptist Church of Midland. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Terry was born on January 27, 1946, in Snyder, Texas, to J.C. and Dorothy LaRue Williamson. Terry married the love of his life, June Westfall, on February 22, 1970. The two shared 52 years building a family legacy through their Christ-centered relationship. They are longtime active members of First Baptist Church, Midland, where Terry taught a couple Sunday school class for more than 25 years. Their greatest joy was raising their two daughters, Shane and Regina. Terry is preceded in death by his parents, J.C. and Dorothy LaRue Williamson. He is survived by his beloved wife of 52 years, June, his two daughters, Shane Dockery and husband Justin of Midland, and Regina Penny and husband Andy of Abilene. four grandchildren, J.C. and Sadie Dockery, as well as Drew and Cooper Penny, sister Jan Beckett of Colorado Springs, Colorado, and brother Dennis of Fort Worth. The family would like to express their gratitude towards the staff of FBC Midland, as well as the doctors and healthcare workers who dedicate their lives tending and taking care of patients. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the FBC Midland Bible Drill Program, the FBC Midland Jail Ministry, or the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Paula Olguin. Paula Olguin, 72, of Midland, passed away May 1, 2022. There is no service planned. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. Front page. Jimmy Buffett concert sold out. Public still invited for tailgating. As of Monday morning, the Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band concert, scheduled for Thursday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, is sold out. The concert is part of the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center's 10-year anniversary and is presented in part by Odessa Arts and the City of Midland. Though tickets for the concert are sold out, there are still spots open for the Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band Margaritaville tailgating. The tailgating pass is $85 plus fees, and it allows for two standard parking spaces, sedan, pickup, truck, SUVs, etc., and a two-cooler limit. Parking passes purchased in advance will require the purchaser's photo ID upon arrival. Margaritaville tailgating parking passes are non-transferable. Parking passes are valid for one vehicle per parking pass. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center details on its website that there is a designated lot for Margaritaville tailgating. The lot is not a paved lot. The placement of your vehicle within the Margaritaville tailgating lot is determined on a first-come, first-served basis. Saving spaces will not be permitted. No vehicle re-entry is permitted. The Margaritaville tailgating lot opens at 11 a.m. Thursday. No tailgating is permitted in any other lots at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center or UTPB Midland Campus and will be strictly enforced. No towing or attachments of any kind are permitted. This includes boats, barbecues, trailers, and vehicles. Come Along, Black Magic Going on a Road Trip by Ruth Campbell. Road Trip will be this year's theme for Black Magic, Permian High School's pop, vocal, and instrumental ensemble, when they take the stage May 12th and 13th at the Ector Theater. The performance also includes skits. Showtimes are 7:30 p.m. each night, and tickets are at permianchoir.com. Reserve tickets are $17.50 and $10 for students and children. 26 students will perform, including 18 vocalists and 8 band members. There are 2 sound technicians and a manager. Elijah Birchfield, a 17-year-old junior, will play drums. He's in his second year in Black Magic. The shows were just so eye-opening to go to, just a nice experience, Butterfield said. Being part of Black Magic is like being in a family. Everybody is like my siblings in here. It's very nice energy, Birchfield said. He said the theme is kind of like an adventure. It could mean several things, like the journey to or getting there, Birchfield said. In an April 20th interview, he said he feels pretty confident about the show. I feel like everything definitely pieces together the week of, but we're making very good progress, Birchfield said. Birchfield said he'd like big audiences for the show. The more people there are, the more fun it is, the more energy, and they're interacting with the crowd and all that. So the more the merrier. It's definitely good for the kids and the parents, he added. He said performing at the Ector is really cool. Mason Simmons, a 17-year-old junior vocalist, is in his second year in Black Magic. My siblings were a part of Black Magic, and growing up, I went to all of their shows. I've always been connected to music with my dad, Greg Simmons. He sings at the church. He did choir and the Allstate process. So just being around all the music made me grow an interest, and then I saw that I wanted to be a part of this when I was little, Simmons said. He has two brothers and one sister. One brother and his sister were in Black Magic. Simmons said he's excited about the upcoming show, but the nerve aspect is always there, especially when he gets on stage. But as soon as I really start performing, the nerves, for the most part, go away, and it's just having fun at that point, so I know it'll get there, Simmons said. Being part of Black Magic, he said, is everything he imagined. I like it a lot. The dancing part's fun. I love to sing, obviously. And I do like how I get to grow a lot of personal connections with a lot of the other students here and meet new people, Simmons said. Lily Lechby, an 18-year-old senior vocalist, is in her first year in Black Magic. Watching the group made her want to be a part of it. I love the kind of connection that they have between one another and the friendship that you gain, Lechby said. Being in the group has been lots of fun. She said it is stressful and a lot of work, but the people make it better. Lechby said she wanted to be in Black Magic in previous years. It's very challenging, so I'm grateful that I got to be there at all. But I am a little sad that I missed out on the years before because it is new people every year, Lechby said. Lechby said singing at the Ector will be a great experience. I think it's a great experience. We were unsure that we were even going to get that location this year. And I helped usher last year. Even though I wasn't a part of Black Magic, I was there helping and watching how the show progressed over show week. I think it's a beautiful spot, Lechby said. She encourages people to attend the show because it's an experience that you've never had. I think there's a lot of things that could be unexpected, and they think that it's maybe just a little bit too choirish. It's definitely the exact opposite. We try to perform to the audience, for the audience. I think you could never go wrong with going because you'll always have a great time, she added. Head choir director Kenneth Siloff said the theme for the show started last year. We're going to incorporate a little bit of West Texas in our staging and on the stage in terms of the set, and we're going to have some really cool elements, like old cars, old gas station pumps, stuff like that, Siloff said. He added that this group of students is having a good time. They're focused and all about getting business done, but also very willing to relax and have a good laugh, Siloff said. Siloff plans to leave ECISD and go back to school for a master's degree at University of North Texas. He said he's trying not to think about the fact that this is his last show. I'm just trying to make sure that it's just as good as every other show. The thing I like to tell the kids is I'm always listening for someone to tell me this is the best one ever. And so that's still the goal. I don't want it to be the best one forever. I want it to be better than the last. That's always the kind of goal, Siloff said. West Texas Fiesta opens Friday by Michael Bauer. For over 26 years, the West Texas Fiesta has drawn thousands of attendees for the weekend-long celebration. This year, West Texas Fiesta President Richard Esparza is hopeful that the number of people attending goes back up to its pre-pandemic levels. This year's West Texas Fiesta will take place from May 6th through the 8th at the Ector County Coliseum. We're trying to make a comeback, Esparza said. Last year, we opened up after COVID, And it was right as they announced that things were going to reopen. We did have a good crowd, but the attendance was down from previous years. This will be our 26th year. The event was canceled in 2020 due to COVID. Now we're anticipating a big turnout, Esparza said. We've been monitoring other events across the state, and everyone's having record-breaking numbers. Even events here, like at the Midland Horseshoe Arena, they're seeing live country concerts there. That's a sign of people coming back and wanting to go out again. Over the years, the West Texas Fiesta has seen the number of attendees go up from 15,000 to 30,000, 40,000 before the pandemic. Last year, however, the event saw about only 15,000 as pandemic restrictions across the state started to loosen. This year will be our full promotion, and we get a big boost from the city, Esparza said. We've been advertising, and not just in Odessa and Midland, but also Hobbs, New Mexico, and Abilene. Of course, we have a big digital outreach, too. We're hoping to bring in a lot of people from out of town. There will be plenty to watch during each of the 3 days, including numerous talent acts and musicians that will be performing. May 6 will feature the music group La Maquinaria Norteña and Signo, while Saturday will feature Los Cumbia Kings. On Sunday, La Zenda Norteña and Los Hijos de Barón will perform. The biggest thing is that we'll have a carnival, Esparza said. We'll have tons and tons of food vendors. We'll have tons of motor extreme acts like motorcycles and the Globe of Death. They'll do 2 shows a day. We'll also have pig racing. We'll have UTPB folklorico dancers and various events throughout the day. In the evenings, we'll have live concerts outside. With plenty going on throughout the day, it can be tough to highlight what people love about the most about coming out to the West Texas Fiesta, but Esparza says the concerts are the most popular. I think it depends, Esparza said. The concerts are the biggest attractions, but during the day, it's more of a family event where younger and little ones can be at the circus or pig racing. It's really a family event. Tickets can be purchased online at fiestawesttexas.com. Quick hits. Cinco de Mayo events. The Hispanic Heritage of Odessa has scheduled Cinco de Mayo events Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, 305 East 5th Street. The Hispanic Heritage Media Awards ceremony will take place at 11:30 a.m. Mariachi de la Herencia España at 4:30 p.m. Selena Lookalike Pasarela at 5 p.m. Registration required with Liliana Marquez at 432-894-8128. Folklorico at 6 p.m. An Hector Theater Selena Band Tribute Concert, Los Chicos Del, at 7 p.m. For more information, call Carol Uranga at 432-349-9840. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR tests drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Early voting. Early voting will continue through Tuesday for the Constitutional Amendment Special Election and the Ector County Independent School District Special Bond Election. Early voting schedule will be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today at the Ector County Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th Street. For more information, call 432-498-4030 in Odessa or 432-688-4890 in Midland. Used eyeglasses needed. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker Avenue, is in need of used eyeglasses. The club will accept children's glasses, broken pieces, sunglasses, all prescriptions, and reading glasses. Hearing aids are also needed. For more information, call 432-335-0234. Permian Basin Literacy Summit. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, in partnership with the Abel Hanger Foundation, FMH Foundation, Prentice Farrar and Aline Ford Brown Foundation, and the Permian Strategic Partnership, will present the annual Permian Basin Literacy Summit from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway, Monahans. Crypto mining in the Permian Basin. Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, 1500 I-20 Midland, has scheduled a crypto mining in the Permian Basin from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/BD5CD9KU. Digital Culture of Kids. First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue, Midland, will present the Digital Culture of Kids from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. To register now or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/2P9YXFZD. Henry Rollins. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Henry Rollins' Good to See You Tour 2022 from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Wednesday. For more information, visit theector.com. Art Tales. The Alan Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Tales Through the Window by Bob Rosenstock Wednesday. Art-loving preschoolers ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups. This program will be virtual or in person at the Art House. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. Masquerade, jewelry, and accessory sale. Odessa Regional Medical Center has scheduled a masquerade jewelry and accessories sale from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, and from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday in the ORMC East Auditorium. Proceeds benefit Pulse Committee Employee Assistance Program. Cash and debit or credit cards accepted. Visit tinyurl.com/YEHS35ZY. Golf Tournament Fundraiser. Crossroads Church, 1 Fairway Drive, has scheduled the golf tournament event at 9 a.m. Thursday. Entry fee is $175 per person or $700 per team. All proceeds benefit Crossroads Student Ministry in getting teens in the Permian Basin to summer camp. Registration is required. To register now or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/BDD3VKCZ. Stop Minding Your Own Business. Centers for Children and Families and Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health will present a mental health awareness series, Stop Minding Your Own Business, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Featured speaker will be Terry Bentley Hill, a nationally recognized mental health advocate and criminal defense attorney in Dallas. Sponsorships and tables are available. To sponsor, for a table, general admission, or to donate, visit tinyurl.com/2P9H3CVF. Mother-daughter banquet. First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue, has scheduled the 32nd annual Mother-Daughter Banquet at 6:30 p.m. Thursday in the Fellowship. Guest speaker will be Carla McDougall from the Woodlands. Tickets are $15. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/KZN436VX. Five prayers for our city. As part of National Day of Prayer, Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven, at-large City Councilwoman Denise Swanner, and District 1 City Councilman Mark Mata have scheduled five prayers for our city from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Thursday at the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 East Business I-20. Updates on five important issues impacting our city will be given by civic and community leaders, and powerful prayer leaders will lead participants as we pray over our city and county and ask for God's healing and blessing over our community. The event is free and open to the public. Registration is required. To register, visit tinyurl.com/2P8MCD8S. Odessa couple dies in wreck. An Odessa couple was killed in a crash on New Mexico State Road 176 near Eunice, New Mexico, Thursday afternoon. A New Mexico State Police news release details that Courtney Dwayne Hartman, 43, and Christopher Daniel Barrandy, 52, were stopped for construction in an eastbound lane when a Ford F-350 pulling a flatbed trailer rear-ended the Chevrolet Silverado they were in, pushing it into the back of a Peterbilt tractor trailer. The couple was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, and the driver of the Ford pickup was taken to Lubbock Hospital with unknown injuries. The driver of the Peterbilt was unhurt. The crash remains under investigation, but is not believed to be alcohol-related. Man arrested following armed carjacking. A 53-year-old man was arrested April 14th after admitting he took part in an armed carjacking. An Ector County Sheriff's Office report details that a local resident said he was sitting along inside a 2010 Ford Mustang on West Love Drive when a man driving a gray Ford F-150 with red rims blocked him from leaving the driveway. He told deputies another man pointed a handgun at him, broke out the driver's side window, and stole the Mustang at gunpoint. Investigators found the Mustang later the same day in the 2500 block of North Damascus Avenue in West Odessa, and nearby sat a gray Ford F-150 with red rims. According to the report, the man sitting in the driver's seat of the truck, Manuel Ornelas Mora, 53, confessed he had given a man a ride to the West Love Drive location, watched him steal the car, and then followed him to North Damascus. Mora was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated robbery and possession of a controlled substance because, according to the report, deputies found a small baggie containing cocaine on his person. He was released April 18th after posting surety bonds totaling $55,000. Odessa KOA Campground under new ownership. A press release issued on Monday detailed that Campgrounds of America welcomes Andrew Rosenberg, new owner of the Midland Odessa KOA Journey, to the KOA family of campgrounds. The Midland Odessa KOA Journey is located at 4220 South County Road 1290 in Odessa, and it's open all year. KOA Journey campgrounds are located near the highways and byways of North America and are waiting for campers after a long day on the road, the press release stated. KOA Journeys offer long pull-through RV sites that help make setup fast and easy, have well-lit after-hours check-in service, and offer a robust line of RV supplies. The Midland-Odessa KOA Journey is one of more than 525 open to the public KOA campgrounds in the Campgrounds of America system in the U.S. and Canada, the press release stated. Other brands in the KOA family of campgrounds include KOA Holidays, which serve as a base camp with lots of activities, and KOA Resorts, which include an abundance of activities led by dedicated recreation staff, on-site food service, group meeting space, and more. Rosenberg says the campground wasn't a KOA when he purchased it, but it had been before. It still had the A-frame, patios, a swimming pool, lots of KOA stuff, Rosenberg stated in the news release. I wanted to turn it back into a KOA. Rosenberg has redone the bathrooms, done updates, and resurfaced the blacktop. For more information, including any changes to operating procedures and available amenities in light of COVID-19, please visit www.koa.com or call 432-563-2368. Reservations are available by going online using the KOA app or by calling 432-563-2368. Harmony Public Schools active employees awarded $500 stipend. A press release from Harmony Public Schools details the Texas-based public school charter system is kicking off National Teacher Appreciation Week by awarding its 4,800 teachers and team members across Texas with a $500 stipend. Harmony Public Schools is awarding the stipend to all employees for their extraordinary efforts throughout the 2021-22 school year. Throughout the many challenges of the past few years, our Harmony Public School team members have stepped up time after time again to keep our students focused on learning, Harmony Public Schools CEO Faith A. said in a press release. Whether they are a teacher, an extracurricular club coach, a college counselor, mentor, or one of the many other roles needed to give our students the full spectrum of support they deserve, our team members are making a difference every day at Harmony. The press release stated that funds will be distributed May 2nd to May 6th to all current employees so long as they were active in April 2022. With 4,800 workers statewide, the total commitment from the stipend will amount to roughly $2.4 million. Though funds will be distributed during Teacher Appreciation Week, the stipend is not being given specifically in recognition of the week, rather for an entire school year's worth of exemplary work. The stipend was approved by the Harmony Public Schools Executive Board on April 30th, the press release stated. Harmony also awarded a similar stipend for employees in both May 2021 and both May and December 2020. Harmony also announced a comprehensive benefits upgrade in 2021 that included free employee dental, vision, matching retirement contributions, and an increase in the employer-paid life insurance policy from $20,000 to $100,000. In total, these stipends and benefits upgrade amount to $6.8 million in additional spending on employees in 2020 to 2022 alone. Harmony Public Schools is a Texas-born, Texas-wide public charter school system, offering a tuition-free education to pre-K through grade 12 students and 23 students across the state, including Greater Houston, DFW, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Laredo, Lubbock, Waco, Odessa, Bryan, Beaumont, and the Rio Grande Valley. Harmony's curriculum places a heavy focus on STEM skills, character education, project-based learning, and college readiness. The system has a 98% graduation rate for its high school seniors and 100% college acceptance rate among its graduating seniors. Harmony Public Schools currently is accepting applications for both students and team members for the 2022-23 school year. Climate Science Lecture Set. The Associated Press. Dr. Stephen E. Coonan will present an Arlen Edgar Distinguished Lecture on Unsettled Climate Science at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Petroleum Museum. Popular and political discussions of the changing climate invariably invoke the science as settled, but a careful reading of the research literature and government assessment reports shows a very different picture. Coonan will describe some of the surprises in the official science that belie the notion that we've already broken the climate and face certain doom unless we take prompt and drastic action. It is sponsored by the Abel Hanger Foundation. For more information or to register for a free ticket, go to petroleummuseum.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.